Do you remember the happy day when you received Christ as your Savior? And you knew in your own heart that all your sins were washed away? Folks, that was the greatest day of my life. 25 years old, thinking I was going to heaven because I was a good person. And then I realized, just like everybody else, I was a sinner too. And when I heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, that He is God come in the flesh, that He had borne my sins on that cross, and that His blood washed away all my sins, what a happy day it was. It was a rejoicing day. Today I want to talk about God's threefold cord that not only saves us, but keeps us secure. If you really have trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior, we talked about this in Sunday school, you are saved forever. Not just for time, but for eternity. And so if you'll stand with me, we're going to read Ephesians chapter 1, starting at verse 2. And I'm going to take a deep breath, because although in our English language there's a period at the end of verse 2, when the Apostle Paul started this section, verses 2 through 14, in the Greek language, this is all one sentence. I'm going to take a deep breath, because I don't think I'm going to make it all the way without breathing, but Paul's excited here. Paul wants you to know the joy of your salvation. He says, "Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who's blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For He chose us in Him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in His sight. In love, He predestined us for adoption to the sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with His pleasure and will, to the praise of His glorious grace, which He's freely given us in the one He loves. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace, that He lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And He made known to us the mystery of His will according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth and under Christ. In Him we are also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of One who works out everything in conformity to the purpose of His will, in order that we who were the first to be put our hope in Christ might be for the praise of His glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in Him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of His glory." Father, today as we study Your Word, help us to realize we have a threefold cord that not only saves us, but that keeps us saved. Father, bless and use us today. We'll give You all the praise in Christ Jesus' holy name. Amen. You may be seated. This thing we call salvation is a wonderful thing, and we ought to get excited because Jesus Christ, through His shed blood, when we place our faith in what He did on that cross for us, we gain salvation. Salvation's absolutely wonderful. I don't know about you, but I'm really glad I'm saved. We don't have to doubt our salvation. We don't have to worry about it anymore. I'm saved because when I was 25 years old, with all my heart, I placed my faith in Jesus Christ as my Lord and my Savior. I realized there was nothing I could do to save myself. There's nothing I can do to keep myself. If I don't have a shepherd who cares enough for the sheep to die for them, then I don't have any hope of salvation. But it gets even better. Paul tells us not only can we know we're saved and then we know we're saved, but the best part is you can't lose it. Folks, that's wonderful to me, that no matter what happens in this life, because of my initial faith in Jesus Christ with all my heart, it can't just be here. It's got to be with your whole being. I have no plan B for salvation. My salvation is tied up in one person, And that one person is Jesus Christ, my Lord. And when I confess Him as Lord, what I'm saying is, Jesus Christ is my Creator God, who made the earth and the heavens and everything else, and then He took on flesh. He was born of a virgin, the only man to ever live a perfect life. I've been a Christian now 54 years, and I'm still not perfect. In fact, I'm not even close to perfect. But I struggle on. But in Jesus Christ, I am declared righteous, totally righteous. When I go to judgment day, there's going to be no sin on my record because it's already been paid for with the precious blood of my Lord Jesus Christ. So, as wonderful as all this is, we have a threefold cord that keeps us saved. The same cord that saved us is the same cord that's going to get us home safe to heaven. In Ecclesiastes 4, verse 12, it says, though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. And we have a threefold cord, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, and those three keep us safe in Christ. Folks, once we realize this, we can rejoice all the days of our life. Paul was so excited, as I mentioned, when he started writing this section, he just kept going. It's like a little child that's so excited to tell you about what's just happening. He just, I can't get enough breath to tell you it all. Folks, this is exciting to Paul, and it should be exciting to you. Jesus Christ paid every debt you're ever going to owe for every sin you've ever done or ever will do. I don't know how many times I've sinned. I'm sure it's probably in the billions of times now. Even as a Christian, I still don't always do what's right. Even as a Christian, I don't always say what's right. And even as a Christian, I don't think what's always right. I sin in my mind, I sin in my speech, and I sin in my actions sometimes. Paul wants us to know that we are secure in Christ, in the Father, and in the Holy Spirit. And so he writes this sentence, and I'm going to read it one more time. And I want you to pay special attention what the purpose is for all this. Why did the Father do what He did? Why did the Son do what He did? And why does the Holy Spirit do what He does? So Ephesians chapter 1, verse 2 again. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For He chose us in Him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in His sight in love. He predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with His pleasure and will, to the praise of His glorious grace, which He's freely given us in the one He loves. In Him, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that He lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. He made known to us the mystery of His will according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth and under Christ. In Him we're also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of Him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of His will, in order that we, who were the first to put our hope in Christ, might be for the praise of His glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in Him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is the deposit guaranteeing the inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of His glory. That's a long sentence, isn't it? And as I read it, there's so much there that after a while you say, man, that's just hard to follow all that. It's hard to keep track of it all. So what I want to do is go a little bit slower now And I want you to look at three verses in particular between this week and next week. I want you to look first at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6, and keep this in your mind. To the praise of His glorious grace. In other words, this is the part the Father does. Everything the Father has done is so that you and I and every other person on this earth will praise Him. To the praise of His glorious grace, which He's freely given us in the one He loves. And now we're going to skip to what the Son does and why the Son has done what He did in Ephesians 1:12. In order that we who are the first to put our hope in Christ might be for the praise of His glory. And we're going to look deeper into that one in a few minutes because it's extremely important you understand why are you saved? What's God's purpose for you and for me? And then the last one, we're going to look at the Holy Spirit, what He's done in Ephesians 1 verse 14, who is a deposit guaranteeing of the inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of His glory. I got to tell you, sadly, many times we praise the Father for what He's done. We praise the Lord Jesus for what He's done. But we just kind of gloss over what the Holy Spirit's done and is doing on an active basis. All three are the three persons of the Godhead. As Christians, we believe one God made up of three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Those three persons are worthy of your praise. And this whole section is the idea that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit expect our response to be praise to their names because of what they've done. And so I want to look first at the salvation that was planned by the Father. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, it says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who's blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For He chose us in Him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in His sight in love." This tells us that God the Father planned our salvation before He ever created the earth or the heavens. He already knew His plan. The Savior was planned before man was ever created. God knew that Adam and Eve were going to sin, but He made them anyhow. And you say, why did He make them with a choice? Because God wants you and I to choose to love and obey Him. He doesn't want us to be robots who have no choice in anything. The good news for us is we have a choice in everything. When you ate breakfast this morning, you got to choose what you wanted, pretty much. Now, if you're a teenager, maybe mom said, this is it, eat it. But we get to choose as adults what we want all the time, every area of life. God the Father planned our salvation, and He made it through a person. And that person, that man, was God the Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. He says in Ephesians 1:5, He predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with His pleasure and will. Predestination is one of the areas where Christians get bent all out of shape. If God chose before the creation of the world who's going to get saved and who's not going to get saved, I don't have a choice. That word predestined there, you were chosen in the Son, and then predestination hits after you receive the Son. God's not willing that any should perish, and this is so important. Because theologians have argued over this point for generations, almost 2,000 years now. Did God do the choosing, or do I get a choice? Well, we want to look at it scripturally a little bit, because it's important for you to know the difference. Because once you start to say that God predestined every choice I'm ever going to make, that literally makes you a robot. The Bible does say God knew everything you're ever going to say. But that doesn't mean He makes you say what you say. You get to choose that. But God does know before the creation of the world everything that He's ever going to do. And in order to know everything He's ever going to do, He has to know everything we're going to do. He knew me, the Bible says, before I was ever formed in my mother's womb. He knew you before you were born. So I just want to go through just a few things real quickly. We believe in a sovereign Lord. We believe that he chooses us in Christ. But in 1 John chapter 2, verse 2, it says he is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. When Jesus Christ died on that cross, he didn't just die for the elect. He shed his blood to pay for the sins of how many people? Everybody. Everybody's included in this thing. Everybody has a choice. He goes on to say in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3, this is good and pleases God, our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. If God chose before the creation of the world who was going to get saved and who was not, he couldn't say that honestly, who wants all people to be saved. And then one last one is 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he's patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Now, if God wants everybody to come to repentance, that means he can't consign people before the foundation of the world. That person's never going to get saved. Okay, so we want to say our God wants everybody to be saved. And the work of the Holy Spirit is made very clear in the Scriptures. The Holy Spirit convicts everybody of sin. In John chapter 16 and verse 8, when he comes, he will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin because people do not believe in me. About righteousness because I'm going to the Father where you can see me no longer. And about judgment because the prince of this world now stands condemned. The Holy Spirit's ministry is to convict you and I of our sin so that we can repent of our sin and be saved. It's a ministry to everybody. The whole world, I don't care how hard a man's heart is, when he sins, the Holy Spirit is going to convict him of sin. That's just the simple truth. Now, not everybody repents. Not everybody's going to confess it. Not everybody's going to turn to Christ. But when you do wrong, from a little age right on up to an adult, you know when you're wrong. The Holy Spirit does his job, not just to the elect. He does his job to everybody. Everybody feels guilt. The Holy Spirit in John chapter 1, verse 9, the true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. The Lord Jesus Christ is that light, and he gives that light to everyone. It's just some people will not open their heart to the light. The Spirit and the Bride say, come, in Revelation 22, verse 17. The Spirit and the Bride say, come, and let the one who's here say, come. Let the one who's thirsty come, and let the one who wishes take the free gift of the water of life. If you're thirsty today, you can have the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you're not thirsty, just pray to the Lord. Lord, I don't care one bit about this, but I'm willing to be made thirsty. And I'll pray that the Lord will make you thirsty, because you might say that's confusing to me. And it's confusing to me too. I don't know how God can be sovereign and still at the same time, some are getting saved, some aren't getting saved. Anybody understand that perfectly? What I want you to know is that you have the choice. God has given mankind a free will. You get to choose. Am I going to trust in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior? Or if you even believe in heaven, am I going to try to get there by something that I do? The Bible says, by the works of the law, no flesh is ever going to be justified in his sight. And so you can work as hard as you can work, but it's not going to work for you. And you might say, well, why? I'm really trying hard to do what's right. In James chapter 2, verse 10, it says, if you keep the whole law and you offend in one point, how much are you guilty of? All of it. Do you understand why you need a Savior? I know I sin every day. I don't do it on purpose most of the time, but I don't think right. And when I don't think right, guess what? That's sin. Jesus said, if a man just looks at a woman to lust after beauty, he's committed adultery in his heart. I've never committed adultery physically on my wife. I never have. But mentally, oh man, I don't even know how often. Too often, I can tell you that. In Ephesians 1:4, it says, for he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight, in love. Folks, the greatest miracle on earth is not walking on water. It's not raising the dead. The greatest miracle that happens on this earth happens a lot. And it's when a man with a sinful heart or a woman receives Christ as their Savior and their heart changes. The day I got saved at 25, my heart changed. I was eager to sin. I was looking forward to more sin. But I lost my appetite the day I got saved. I still do sin, but it upsets my stomach and it upsets my emotions when I do. I get convicted now where I used to say, yeah, this is great, man. Not great anymore. You know, a little girl was asked by a Sunday school teacher one time, is there anything God can't do? And that little girl said, there's one thing God cannot do. God can't see my sins through the blood of Christ. Folks, do you understand that every sin I've ever done or I'm ever going to do is already washed away in the blood of Christ? When I get to heaven, and I am a sinner, there's going to be zero sins on my record. Not because I didn't sin, but because Christ shed his blood for this sinful man and told me if I would trust him, he would wash away all my sin. Now, the Father has done a great job, and the Son also is doing a great job. He's the second person of this threefold cord. So, he selected us in Christ before the foundation of the world, and it's important you need to know why he did that. Why did he choose you and me? I believe he chose everybody, but only those that will receive him in their heart will be saved. But in Ephesians 1:5, it says he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will. He did it for his pleasure and his will. God loves others. God does not want to stay alone forever. In the beginning, God created. In the beginning, all there were three persons in one God. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit were alive forever in eternity. But he wanted to share his glory with mankind. You know, of all the animals in the creation, we're the only ones made in the image of God. That means you and I are eternal, just like God is eternal. He made us for fellowship. He wants to live with you forever. But he wants you to want to live with him forever. And so he's given you the choice. Predestination teaches me on the authority of the very word of God that he chose me, and I believe he chooses everybody, but only those that will repent will come to him, that it's settled forever that I'm going to be like my Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm much more like the Lord Jesus Christ today than I was 10 years ago, and 10 years before that, and 10 years, we change over time, and we become more and more. But one day, God has predestined me to be in the exact image of his Son. I'm going to think in eternity just like Jesus Christ thinks. I'm going to live just exactly like Jesus Christ lives. It's not going to happen in this lifetime because I still have a sinful nature and so do you. We don't get rid of that until the resurrection. At the resurrection, my sinful nature is going to be left behind. And I'm never going to think a sinful thought ever again. I'm going to be changed to the likeness of Christ. I'm predestined unto the adoption. Now, people say, are we born into the family of God or are we adopted into the family of God? And I'll say, yes, it's both. When you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're born again into God's family. But I want to teach you why it talks about two different ways. We're born into the family of God, but then we're adopted into the family of God. At the time this was written, many people had multiple wives, and many people had slaves as wives. And when a man who was the master of the household had a slave, and that slave became pregnant with a baby, that baby was not considered his at all, because that baby was going to be a slave. But that man could choose to adopt that son or daughter, and they would have the full rights of heritage, just like the natural born. You see, if a man had a wife that was free, wasn't a slave, every single son became his child. But if you had a slave wife, that slave was going to be a slave. He wasn't going to be your son unless you personally adopted him. Had to come later. God has done both for us. We're born again the second we receive Christ, and we're adopted into the family of God at exactly the same time because we were slaves. We were born of mothers and dads that were what? Sinful. They were not in all areas the children of God. And even if you had two parents that were Christians, they're still sinful, just like me, just like you. And so we had to be adopted into his family as well. So, in Ephesians 1:6, we're going to be talking about now the Father's work. Each of these different phases of the threefold cord. This is the first full cord, the Father. To the praise of his glorious grace, which he's freely given us in the one that he loves. Everything the Father did is so that you and I, through all eternity, are going to be praising him. Folks, you are on this earth today according to the plan of God the Father. You may not acknowledge that in your heart. You may not acknowledge that you were created. You may think you evolved. You may think there's no rhyme or reason why we're here, what we're supposed to do. But God says he's the creator. He made the sun, the moon, the stars, all the planets, all the plants, human beings in his image. And he made us for the praise of his glorious grace. What is grace? It's God's unmerited favor. He didn't have to create us. He didn't have to make men and women, boys and girls. But he did it because he's a gracious God. He wants to share the joys of heaven with you and I for all eternity. We have so much to be thankful for. Now we're going to start moving on to the Son. When you think about your salvation, you were known of God in eternity past. He predestined you to salvation. And he's wanting you to fall in love with the Lord Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son. In Matthew 3:17, it says, a voice came from heaven, said, this is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Folks, God the Father loved God the Son because they were eternally together in eternity past. Jesus Christ isn't just a man that showed up on the earth born of a natural birth. Jesus Christ is God himself who took on flesh. God himself announced to the shepherds. Jesus Christ announced to the shepherds. In Bethlehem, it's already happened. A baby has been born. That was the Lord Jesus Christ that made the announcement. How can he be in his mother's womb and announcing the angel of the Lord? When you see the angel of the Lord in the Old Testament or New, that's the Lord Jesus Christ. He can be more than one spot at a time. Nobody else can, but he can. He loves us so much that he died on the cross to pay for our sin. In John 17, verse 23, Jesus is praying to the Father. This is, again, the night before he's going to die. Tomorrow he's dying. I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved me and have loved them even as you have loved me. That verse ought to surprise you a little bit. Do you know that you are loved by God the Father exactly as much as Jesus Christ is loved by God the Father? Stop and think of it. His only begotten Son, who is God, God loves you just as much as he loves Jesus Christ. That'd be like you saying, I've got this son of mine who lives in my home and I've raised him and he's a wonderful child, but that next door neighbor boy, I love him just as much as I love my own. You know, when people adopt children, they do love them just as much as they love their own. I've got a brother that adopted two boys, and he loves them just as much as he loves his own. Folks, it's so exciting to me that God loves me and he loves you just as much as he loves Jesus Christ. That ought to take your breath away. It does me, because I'm not like Jesus Christ yet. Sometimes I know I give my father fits. In Ephesians 1:6 again, why did he do it? To the praise of his glorious grace, which he's freely given us in the one that he loves. God says he does it so that you and I will praise him all eternity. I praised him the day I got saved, and I've been praising him every day since. Folks, my salvation is just as new to me today as it was the day I got saved. And I pray it still excites your soul to know that your sins are forgiven. There's no greater treasure on this earth to know that it's well with my soul because of my faith in Jesus Christ. So verse 7 of Ephesians 1 says, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace. And so we're going to the second strand of this threefold cord, the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to talk about him a little bit today, and we're going to finish up next week of Jesus Christ, what he did in your salvation, and then what the Holy Spirit did, because we have literally a threefold cord. We rejoice in the blood because our redemption comes through the blood. A lot of people do not like the Christian faith because it's a blood faith, but it is. Somebody who had to be perfect had to give their life to pay for your sin, or it won't work. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 8, he says that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. He made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times reached their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. In him, we've also been chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we who were the first to put our hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. That little phrase, we might be to the praise of his glory, is extremely important. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with the seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. So our salvation has been planned by the Father, carried out through the Son, and brought to pass through the Holy Spirit, a threefold cord that holds us in Christ for how long? For all eternity. Folks, I hope that excites you. It excites me. I praise the Lord every day that he had a plan before the foundation of the world to save sinners. When we study about our Lord Jesus Christ, it says very clearly, he did not come to save the righteous. He came to save sinners. Why didn't Jesus Christ come for the righteous? Because there are none. There's none that don't sin. You were born with a sinful nature because of your dad. So if your dad's here, you can look at him and say, oh, yeah, well, you're a rascal. Yes, I am still a rascal. But God took my children, and as far as I know, He saved every single one of them. Why? Not because they're my kids. God doesn't have grandkids. Every one of my children had to make their own decision. And you are no different. You must be born again. And there's only one way for that to happen. That's for you to confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is God. It says Lord. That's what that word means. He's my creator God who came to this earth, the only man that lived a perfect life because he did not have a human father, and he died on that cross to purchase my salvation and yours. When you believe that with all your heart, you are born into God's family. God adopts you as his son or daughter, and for all eternity, you and I are going to be with him rejoicing. Because some things that we deal with every day here are going to be gone forever. My sinful nature is going to be gone forever. My pain, which I have, both shoulders are out of joint now, not doing well, that pain's going to be gone forever. I don't think it's going to go away until then because it's pretty deep-seated now. I'm never going to know sorrow ever again. We talked about the lady down at the home whose good friend passed away at 45. Her family's in mourning. Imagine being a child of 6, 7, 8 years old and your mother just passed away. When we get to heaven, that's never going to happen again. There will be no more tears in heaven. There's only going to be joy and peace, and won't have to hope anymore. Hope's going to be gone. But joy and peace are sure going to be there, and I'm looking forward to it. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you'd like to hear more, please get with me after service. Less than 5 minutes, I can show you from the Word of God how you can know right now that you have eternal life. You're a son or daughter of God. Father, we're grateful for your word. We're grateful, Lord, for the peace that your word can bring into our hearts. Father, I pray for anybody here today that does not know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, that today might be that day that they'll be born again unto the praise of your glory. And Father, we'll give you the praise today in Jesus' holy name. Amen.